power, your manifested goodness in this place. And Father, for those watching, in the name of Jesus, we receive it. Whatever you need tonight, just reach out and see, receive his goodness, receive his grace for whatever it is that you have need of tonight. We thank you for touching bodies. We speak the healing anointing, healing and touching each and every cell. Father, from the top of our head to the soles of our feet, we receive all that you want to do here in this place. Have your way, have your will. We thank you for it. We have our hearts and our minds turned to you, set on you, in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, go ahead and be seated. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Our website, just a few announcements, is VLFC. If it's your first time, we invite you to check us out. You can find out more about us, submit your prayer requests, testimonies, access all of the past messages, video, audio, and sermon notes. We're on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, Instagram, with more outlets on the way. So subscribe, follow, like, and share. Pastor Rodney's daily devotional is on our website, and so we invite you to go there each morning to the vlfc.church or on Facebook as well. Sign up on the newsletter. That's right. That's how I get it. It goes straight to your inbox every single day. Sundays, doors open at 9. Pre-service prayer is from 9:20 to 9:40, and service starts at 10. So we invite you to come early for coffee, for fellowship, get to know one another. It's always a blessed time. Wednesdays, doors open at 6. Service begins at 6:30 right here on Wednesday nights. Friday morning prayer is from 9 to 10. Friday morning, we'll have it this Friday morning. We invite you to come and be here and pray over the plan of God, over our church, the community, and each other, one another, and see what God has in store for us. Praise God. We have volunteer needs for greeters, coffee station back here, ushers, video production, children, and youth ministry, and our worship team. Also, if you have a heart to lead a prayer team or discipleship class, please let us know. We'd love to visit with you, meet with you about that, work with you to be able to do what God's calling you to do. Amen. We want to thank you to our volunteers. It's a blessing to come serve. It's an honor to serve together for the kingdom of God, and we cannot do it without you. So we thank you. We're grateful for you. We pray for you every day. Praise God. And invite someone to church. Be intentional. Bring them if you need to bring them. Go pick them up. Scoop them up. Put them in the car. There's church cards over there. I keep some in my wallet. I keep some in the diaper bag in my car. There's times, you know, you meet someone out there and the Lord nudges you. Invite them to church. I always ask, do you have a church home somewhere? Do you go to church? And if they don't, that's my open door to invite them to church. And so it's a great opportunity with those church cards. So praise God tonight for offering. If you want to turn to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. Proverbs 10, 22. And it's so good to see you all tonight. What a blessing you are. It's a fun evening. It was fun coming early tonight. Wasn't it fun? We had a good time. Amen. So Proverbs 10, 22. This is a little bit different translation. This is the Passion Translation. And it says, true enrichment comes from the blessing of the Lord with rest and contentment and knowing that it all comes from him. So we let the blessing of the Lord do the work. The Amplified Classic says, the blessing of the Lord, it makes truly rich. And he adds no sorrow with it, neither does toiling increase it. So what's that saying? We don't have to work in our own strength for it. Yes, we're obedient to sow and to give where he tells us to sow and give, but leave it to him. Let him do the work. Allow him to bring the blessing. The blessing is working in our lives. We don't have to strive for it. We just receive it. Say, I receive the blessing working for me. The favor of God surrounds me like a shield. Praise God. It's going to work. You know, I was thinking about when we plant a seed, and we reap that harvest. It's garden season right now, and it's past just usually the first planting of the seed. But once you plant that seed, what happens? You start seeing something come up out of the dirt, and you don't always see that the very next day. That seed's in the ground, and it's going to work. You might just see that soil on top, but after a little while, here comes a little green thing poking up, or, you know, first the blade, then the ear, then the corn. But I notice even on our walks in the neighborhood lately, the gardens, suddenly they're taller, and it's almost like a suddenly, it's just like, boom, they're like way taller all of a sudden. Suddenly you start seeing fruit. Well, now the grapes are on the vine, the tomatoes are on the vine, and they're green, they're little green tomatoes. So they're not quite ready. So it takes a little bit of time, but things are happening. So I want to encourage you tonight. You're coming to church, that's sowing a seed with your very lives. And you are going to reap the harvest of that in your life and in your family's life. You are honoring the Lord, and He's honoring your life. And so we receive that seed and harvest of honor tonight in Jesus' name. So tonight, let's say our offering confessions. The blessing is working in us, on us, and for us. The Lord is increasing us more and more. Us and our children. Seed, we speak to you. Produce a mighty harvest. We are getting our buildings, our lands, and all of our resources. We call every bill paid, every need met. We are furnished in abundance. Angels, go get our harvest and bring it to us. Double, 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 and double again in Jesus' name. Praise God. And just a quick update on the building project phase one. We're believing for $5,000 above and beyond our regular tithes and offerings. There's a QR code on your screen you can scan to find out more about this vision. So we are believing for a property and building of our own with lots of room for growth. And I'm just going to put this before you. We should be seeing this every single day, many times a day as we're speaking over this. Praise God. Rooms, prayer groups, connect groups, nurseries, classrooms, children's ministry, young adults, and a fellowship hall with a kitchen. Praise God. So there's more to it than that. There's outdoor activities. You know, I'm seeing a stage for the children, because in there we're acting out some skits and things like that, but there could be a lot more to it. We're doing what we can with where we're at. And so this is vision here, and we're putting the vision before us, and we're going towards the vision. So far, $4,602 has come in for phase one. That's $398 remaining. Praise God. So thank you for your seed sown. We praise God. He's our source. And as He works through us, we're receiving that harvest as well. And so tonight, as you give, if you're giving by cash or credit card, please use the offering envelope and sign the signature line. If you're giving by credit card, also sign that. Makes checks payable to VLFC. And if you're giving online, the information is on your screen. Praise God, you may receive the offering.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Pastor Paula. Ha, ha, ha. Glory to God. It's good to be here with you all on this Wednesday night. Thank you for coming out. Glory to God. It's going to be a tremendous midweek boost for us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this word. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Just put your hand over your heart right here. And let's just sing it together. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Online, do the same. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father, of mercy and grace. Thou art welcome in this place. You've got to invite him in. Holy Spirit is here. You know, he fills all in all. But you know, you'll see greater manifestations of it when you will on purpose start just yielding to and just take that little song, you know, phrase, however you want to do it. You know, but just Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. John 16, Jesus said he is the Spirit of truth. He said he's here to lead you. He's here to guide you into all truth. He has many names. He is the helper. He's the comforter. He's standby power. He is many things. But as you acknowledge him, when you invite the comforter into your life, he's there to comfort. He's there to help. He's there to give you wisdom. He's there to shine the light on things that you need. Amen. But you just invite him in. So here tonight, we invite the help and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, our helper, to teach us, to lead us, to guide us. So even as Pastor Rodney's up here delivering the word, and I've studied all week, I've showed myself to be approved over these years. But you know, it's not Rodney's word. It's not just what I've studied. Now I've studied what he's given me to study, and I'm sharing what he's given me to share. But there's still an anointing that is on the preaching and the teaching, but there's an anointing on your eyes, on your ears, and your heart. And you get to decide, do I want to engage in faith? Do I want to receive that anointing? Amen. Because where he is welcome, he enters in. Amen. Glory to God. Let the Lord be magnified. Hallelujah. So Father God, we thank you for this tonight. And we're going to pick up here on the series that we started here now a week and a half ago on the authority of the believer. This is one of the most significant messages you will ever hear regarding the walk of faith. And so again, we're going to pick up here tonight with number 3 in our series. So far in this series outline, I have put together 14 of these messages, and this is number 3. And I'm going to let you know at the same time, I've been working and reworking and reworking, and that we're also writing the book on this. And so we're going to put, there's a lot more I can put in the book than I can really share here in this teaching format. So here in the next couple of months, we're going to get that finished and we're going to have that available. Praise God. So Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21. This is our foundation text for tonight. And the title to this message is No More Surrender. Say, I'm done with surrender. Glory to God. You are more than a conqueror in Christ. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, so also death was passed on to all men because all sinned. For sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin was not taken into account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who did not sin in the way that Adam transgressed. He is a pattern. He is a pattern. The first Adam, he is a pattern. Just hold on to that. Of the one that is capitalized, speaking of Christ, Adam, the first Adam, he is a pattern of the one Christ to come. Verse 15, but the gift is not like the trespass. For if many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many? Again, the gift is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment that followed one sin brought condemnation, but the gift that followed many trespasses brought justification. Verse 17, for if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. I want to just highlight that. How much does a gift cost? Anybody? How much does a gift cost? Zero. It doesn't cost you anything, right? Otherwise, it wouldn't be a gift. It's free. He says the gift of righteousness. He says, so again, those who receive the abundance of grace and this free, this gift of righteousness, reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So then, just as one trespass brought condemnation for all men, so also one act of righteousness brought justification and life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous. Say, I've been made righteous. Hallelujah. The law came in so that the trespass would increase. But where the sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So simply to say it, one man, Adam, got us all into this mess. And one man, the second Adam, Jesus Christ, came and he got us all out of this mess. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So here tonight, we're going to again be looking at the subject of no more surrender. So again, our authority can be surrendered, but it cannot be stolen. We're going to see more about this. But going back to our first couple of messages, we saw that our authority began in Genesis chapter 1. We also saw last Sunday here that our sight, revelation, knowledge of that truth, what was revealed to us through the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 1 through that prayer. We're praying that prayer every day. Amen. The eyes of our understanding open and enlightened. We see and know the hope to which we've been called in Christ Jesus. Amen. But tonight we're going to confront the fall. So we're going to go back to Genesis, looking at this. We said we're going to confront the fall again, not from the aspect of a moral failure of Adam and Eve, but from the lens of the forfeiture of authority. They forfeited authority, and we're going to see how they did it because it applies to you and I today and to every man. First off, Adam does not lose authority because Satan is stronger or more powerful. Satan did not challenge Adam to a duel, right? They didn't fisticuff here. You know, they didn't box it out. No, none of that. Very, very subtle. Very, very subtle. He did not overpower Adam and take his authority. Adam lost authority because Adam just simply gave it away. He just surrendered it. He just bowed the knee to the lie of the devil. So tonight, this is really a legal story of authority. Amen. This is a legal story. We're going to have a lot of legal terms that we're going to unpack in here tonight because all of this hinges on the going and coming, first and second Adam. All of it is found in legal rights. Amen. So again, this is the story of how the first Adam lost his authority in the fall and how the second Adam, Jesus Christ, restored it for all of us who will simply believe. Again, Romans 10:9, you believe it in your heart, you confess it out of your mouth, you're saved, you're born again, you receive the grace of God, you receive the gift of righteousness. He says you've been made the righteousness of God. You're not trying to earn righteousness. I'm not trying to measure up to some standard. No, I'm just simply a made man. I am made righteous. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. So let's look here first at the loss. What happened in the fall? Romans 5:12, the word says that through one man, sin entered the world. Sin entered the world and death through that sin. The Greek word for entered, we see here in our notes, is eisilthen. It means to walk through a doorway, to pass through a gate, to gain access through an opening. What he's saying here, there is literally an open door. There's an open gate. Just come on in. That's what happened. Sin just walked through an open door. So what happened here in the fall? The gate opened first in Adam's perception before he literally, it opened in his behavior. Before he took and ate of that fruit, he had already in his mind received the lie, received an alternate perception of reality, and then was obedient to it. So again, he received the word. So again, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It actually worked the exact same way. the serpent came and told a word, told a lie. That word gained entrance into Adam's heart. He believed it, and now he turns and acts on it. And with that, the fall of man. Again, Adam shifted attention away from God, away from truth, and over here towards a lie before he ever acts upon it. Again, he's not overpowered. Paul says that sin is ill thin. It just entered in. Adam just opens the door, and here it comes. Easiest conquest of all human time, right there. Again, Adam unlocks the gate. Sin just walks through because Adam has allowed it access. Adam's authority was absolutely real. This is already established in Genesis chapter 1. Before any of this ever occurred, before man even drew a breath, God had already spoken this over man in Genesis 1, 26 through 28. We saw this in our first week. Identity was established, image, likeness. So identity, who man is, his nature, what he carries. Next, we see the assignment, what man is authorized to do in and over this earth. And again, the authority, which is the legal right to fulfill his assignment. Again, Adam was God's royal representative on the earth. This was literally created. The Garden of Eden, if you will, was the garden spot of the universe. The Garden of Eden was created by God, right? He planted all of this. He spoke to all this. And it was literally to be like heaven on the earth. Again, what was God doing? He is taking heaven is my domain. This is where I reside, and all these other creatures that you can read about, you know, in Scripture, especially in the book of Revelation. You can see there's all type of stuff up there. You know, it's going to be something. You know, but he creates all of the universe, and then he takes this place on the earth, not even the whole earth, but on the earth, and he puts, you know, all of these things, and he puts Adam and Eve there. He says, okay, now you're going to take this blessing, you're going to take this mandate, and now you're going to go global with it. And I am absolutely convinced if they continued on this path, they would have spread to other stars, other solar systems, and all of these things throughout eternity. I believe in eternity, that's exactly what we're going to do. That's exactly what we're going to do. Hallelujah. God is always increasing. The universe is still increasing. You have all of these numerous, innumerable galaxies just out there. They're just waiting on something. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's just something fun to look forward to. But again, Adam was God's royal representative on the earth. He was literally to turn this into days of heaven on earth. Jesus, the second Adam, you know, in the Lord's Prayer, how does he start off? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. However it was in heaven, Adam was just supposed to simply receive that by the Spirit and then speak it out into this earth, and it's just becoming and it's becoming, and that's how it was functioning until the fall. Then the curse entered in. So again, Adam's authority was legal. Dominion was granted in Genesis 1 by God. Again, it's rooted in his image first and foremost, but it's also territorial and it's governmental. There's an order to this. Adam's authority is transferable. Authority is always transferable. So we see this today, whether it be kings, judges, fathers, governments, it's all transferable. Even the scripture today over in 2 Corinthians 5 says you are an ambassador of Christ. An ambassador is authorized to speak on the... Help me. An ambassador is authorized to speak with the same authority as the head of state from where they came from. So I, as an ambassador of Christ, am authorized in the earth to speak heaven's words into this earth to establish the kingdom government order and to see it come to pass. Jesus says it over in Luke. He says, we're here to occupy, that is, to do business until he returns. So again, Genesis 1, that kingdom mandate, that kingdom assignment, dominion and authority, it has not gone away. Jesus just came and reestablished our identity. He reestablished our authority so we can go and actually occupy, or so we can go out here and rule and reign in the earth as kings. Amen. The scripture says you and I, we are kings and we are priests. He says, now we answer to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. King of Kings, we are those kings he's speaking about. Amen. Glory to God. And so again, kings have kingdoms in which they rule and reign. Hello. Say, that's me. Glory to God. I've been getting rained on, Pastor. Well, we're going to do something about that. No more surrender. We're going to awaken unto our legal rights and privileges and authority in Christ Jesus and start living from on top instead of from the bottom up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So again, authority is legal. Therefore, it can be transferred legally. And this is exactly what happened. So again, Romans 5:12, through one man, sin entered. This was subtle. This was silent. You know, it happened in the blink of an eye. Again, Adam opens the door. Adam just yields to the lie of the devil. And in so doing, he surrenders jurisdiction. Now, just a note here, at this time, you know, we're talking about this word ezilthen. Is this entering in ancient cities, the gatekeeper determined who enters. So you can imagine, you may have seen movies and stuff. You know, you're coming into an ancient city. They have fortified walls. They have gates, you know, and even up until, you know, modern times, you see much of the same, and especially over in these kingdoms over in Europe and stuff like that. You have these castles, you know, and they have drawbridges and moats and all of these things. If you want to get into that castle, you've got to check in at the gate. They're going to, you know, talk to you, inspect, you know, what's going on, why are you here, who are you here to see? You got family, you got relatives, you're coming to pay taxes. They're going to find out who you are. And they're going to say no, yes, you know, who gets to come in? They are the gatekeepers. Adam was the gatekeeper over the earth. The enemy did not break down the gates. He didn't besiege the city. No, none of that. Adam just simply opens the gates and says, come on into the earth. It's yours. He didn't realize that's what was happening, but Satan knew it. Satan knew, I just need to get in this door. I just need to get in this door. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for what he has done for us. So what we're seeing here, if Adam surrendered authority, then the fall is not robbery. It was simply a legal transfer. It's a legal transfer. And if it's legal, then the redemption, the second Adam, this has to be accomplished also on a legal basis. And there's a whole thing. We can go all the way through the Old Testament and track it, which would take, you know, many days. We're not going to do that tonight. But there's a legal basis for all of it. And it's a beautiful picture. But what we're going to see here next is a surrender, how, again, the authority changes hands. Luke chapter 4. Verses 5 and 6. So if you recall, Jesus, at 30 years old, you know, he's been living with mama and daddy and, you know, and these things. But at 30 years old, he enters out into his own public ministry. Now, this is his time. This is his calling. He goes to the Jordan River and he's baptized there. And at that baptism, Holy Spirit comes down, ascends upon him like a dove, you know, and then from there, he is anointed and he goes out and spends 40 days and nights in the wilderness, no food. Can you say mighty hungry? Oh, yeah. I mean, from the natural, you know, you're at the point of death, you know, you're at the point of death. And so Satan comes to him and then he gives him these three temptations, you know, but here in verse 5, it says that Satan shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and says to him, all this authority has been handed over. Some translations say delivered. Either way, same thing. They've been handed over. They've been delivered to me. Handed over. Say handed over. He didn't get this by conquest. Him and Adam didn't arm wrestle in the garden for it. Right? It was just handed over. Easy. Easy. No struggle. No fight. This Greek word for handed over is the Greek word parathedotai. It's a legal term that's used in courtrooms and in contracts. This is something lawyers use, right? And it means to give over, to surrender, to transfer legally, to hand off jurisdiction. Now the tense of this word goes a little bit further, and it means that this is a completed action with a present result. It has been handed over, and it currently stands as delivered. It was done, and all of these last 4,000 years, it's been mine. I have possession of it, right? So again, the devil here, when he's speaking to Jesus, he does not claim theft. He claims that this was a legal transfer according to the order. You know, so again, parathedotai, and he says it's been handed over. And next we see here in 2 Corinthians 4:4, Scripture says that Satan became the god of this world. Other translations say god of this age or god of the world order. He does not have, Satan is not the god over nature necessarily. Not directly, right? If he had authority over all of nature directly, he could just come in and say, you know what? I don't want you in here. You're out. I'm going to kill you today. And he could do it. He is not that. He's the god of this age, the god of influence. The same way he was in the garden. He didn't have real power. All he had was a lie, a word, a thought, a deception, an idea. It's still the same today. But again, the scripture says he becomes the god of this world by transfer. This world or age in Greek is the word ionos. It means the god of this age, its system or systems, its blindness, its atmosphere. Again, we're talking about spiritual authority, not natural authority. But know this, everything originates in the spirit. Everything originates in the spirit. Hallelujah. And in the spirit, if I can get a hold of a man or a woman and put my thoughts, my influence, and get you to say it, get you to do it, now I've got access into this natural realm. There's again, all of this, I can't preach it all. We did a series in the fall of 2024 on the whole armor of God. And when you go through Ephesians 6, you can see he's talking about all the rulers of darkness, the principalities, the powers. There is rank, there is file in the kingdom of darkness, from high ranking, you know, military generals down to specific foot soldiers. And even in that, you've got divisions such as we would have with the army and the navy. They have very specifically assigned forces to come and attack these different realms. In different places. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So again, he's not the god of the earth. He's not the god of the earth. He's the god of this current world order. And Adam, by surrender, just hands over the jurisdiction of it. Now again, the serpent's strategy was deception, not domination. Again, Satan cannot overpower a child of God. He can't, again, just can't show up at your house. Child of God, your number's up. Done. You're out. Can't do it. He never could. Again, Satan cannot dethrone God's representative. Satan cannot break God's legal order. Again, he can't just show up at your house. Cold and flu season, I'm going to strap this on you today. COVID-19, it's your time. You're it today. Cancer, yeah, your number's up. No, he can't do it unless you will surrender that place of authority to him. Again, Satan can only deceive. Jesus said it this way in John 10:10, the thief only comes to do three things, steal, kill, destroy, in that order. If he cannot steal your identity, if he cannot steal the truth, then he has no open door to be able to kill and to destroy. What happened in the garden? Satan came and gave Adam and Eve a different word. They knew the truth. He gave them a different word. They received that word. You know, they meditated on it, whether it was a few seconds or a few hours. I don't know how long it was. But either way, they received it. And then, you know what? Yeah, that God's holding out on us. We just need to go ahead and eat this fruit over here. No, it's the same for you and I today. don't receive anything. Well, you know, you're just an old sinner, you old dirty thing, you unrighteous old creature, you know. All of these things, whatever it is, ungodly soul ties, addictions, sicknesses, diseases, all of these things are meant to deceive you so that he has an open door to kill and to destroy. Again, Jesus calls him a thief and a liar. Again, Satan can only deceive. Deception, that deception will lead to surrender, and surrender will always lead to a transfer of your authority. I'm going to say that again. Satan can only deceive. He does not have real power. He cannot just do whatever he wants to do in your life. He has to have you believe a lie. And if you'll believe that lie, that is the deception that will open the door to your surrender. And once you've surrendered, you have now transferred authority on him. And now he can put this sickness, now he can put this disease, now he can keep you in bondage to him forever. Even though you're born again, even though you're a child of God. Ignorance is not bliss. The word says in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, God says, my people perish. They're dying. They're perishing. Why? Lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they have. They don't realize they're created in the image and likeness of God with all dominion and all authority, and you're letting an imp come in here and steal the truth from you and run roughshod over your life. Meanwhile, you're here to reign in life. You're supposed to reign in life, and you're getting rained on because of ignorance. Again, Satan can only deceive. Deception will lead to your surrender, and your surrender will lead to a transfer of authority. Now Satan has the legal right to come in and steal and kill in your life. It hurts my heart. You know, it does. It really does. To see this, especially in the body of Christ. Just walking around in pure ignorance and just kicking open the door to the devil, surrendering to him left and right and allowing him just to have his way. Meanwhile, you're to be reigning as a king. What you don't know can kill you. Again, the fall was a legal transaction. Adam yielded his jurisdiction. Satan receives it. And then in this moment, Earth's government has shifted. Authority has legally changed hands. And it stayed that way for the next 4,000 years until the second Adam came and got us back out of it. So again, what was surrendered legally, this authority has to also be restored legally. So again, we're going to see now what Jesus did or what he recovered for us that Adam had surrendered. So again, Romans 5:17 says, if by one man's trespass death reigned, how much more will those who receive reign in life through Jesus Christ? We're here to reign in life through one Jesus Christ. This Greek word for the word trespass, again, by one man's trespass, death reign, this word is paraptomati. I practiced that a lot earlier, but thank you, Lord. It's all Greek to me, say amen. it means a legal violation, a legal breach of jurisdiction. It means to step outside of assigned authority. All right. You have trespassed. You've violated the law, right? So again, Adam commits paraptomati. Again, he doesn't just sin. He commits this legal violation, a legal breach that transfers jurisdiction from man over to the devil. Now we see here again in Luke 5 and 6, Jesus confronts Satan's claim. Satan offers Jesus these kingdoms. He says, all these kingdoms, I'll give them over to you. I'm going to give you all the glory. You just bow down to me one time, just one time. The Bible says this was a temptation. It had to be real for it to be a temptation. You know, if somebody you know who comes in the door right now and they haven't got two nickels to rub together and they said, hey, I'll give you $1 million this Friday if you'll go do this for me, if you'll go do that, you would just laugh. You ain't got $1 million. That's not even a temptation. He says, this was a temptation. He says, all of these kingdoms and all of their glory, I'll give it to you. You just bow down to me one time, just once. But you know, think about it. Jesus was here to get all of that back, but he wasn't here to do it for self. He was here to do it for you and I, to restore you back to that place of relationship and fellowship with God in image and likeness. And no, that would just have been a waste of time. Thank God, amen, he did not bow the knee as the first Adam did. Otherwise, you and I would still be done. Stick a fork in us where our goose is cooked, right? But again, Jesus does not say you do not have authority. He doesn't say, devil, you're lying about that. You never received any dominion. No. Why? Again, because Satan did receive authority through Adam's paratomati, amen, again, that legal violation or that legal transfer. Again, Jesus refuses the offer because he does not come to receive authority from Satan. Hallelujah. He came to reverse this paratomati and take authority back legally, not for self, but for all of us. He didn't need it. He was doing just fine in heaven. Glory to God. So again, restoration actually for us began in the wilderness where Christ, the second Adam, refused the offer the first Adam accepted. Again, Colossians 2:15 says that he, Jesus Christ, disarmed principalities and powers. This disarmed means a stripping of legal rights. Again, this is all legal stuff. When Jesus went to the cross 3 days and nights in the belly of the earth, and then he rose up victorious, he took back the keys to death, hell, the grave, and the scripture says he disarmed him. He doesn't have anything. He literally cannot reach out his arm and make an accusation against you. He can't do it. He's been disarmed. He's been legally stripped. He doesn't have a word. He doesn't have an arm. He doesn't have anything to stand and accuse you of from a legal standpoint. Aha. Glory to God. So again, Jesus here, this is all spiritual. It's a spiritual in the first time. It's spiritual right now. Jesus does not overpower Satan physically. Again, they're not arm wrestling in at the gates of hell. No. Jesus overrules Satan legally. So again, the cross did not overpower Satan. It invalidated his claim. It invalidated his claim. Again, Jesus reversed Adam's surrender. So again, Romans 5:19 says, through one man's disobedience. And then it says, through one man's, Christ, obedience. So again, we're talking about this legal breach. In Roman courts, at this time, this word would have been used. It meant a legal breach. Again, paratomati. It was a legal breach that transfers rights. A legal breach that transfers rights over a property or something like this. So if a landowner committed a paratomati, he didn't lose his property because someone has stolen it or came and beat him off of it. He lost it because his violation transferred ownership. You and I went into a contract. You breached that contract. This property now gets transferred over to me. This is what this means. This is how this word was used in legal terms. Adam's paratomati opens the gate. Jesus' obedience. One man opened it. One man closed it. Adam surrenders dominion. Jesus, on a legal basis, reclaims dominion by the work of the cross. Adam transfers jurisdiction. Jesus restores our jurisdiction. Again, what did he say in Matthew? All authority has been given unto me. All authority has been given unto me. I just took it back. I just took it back. Not for me, for you. Now go reign in life through this victory. Glory to God. So again, Jesus restores authority to the believer. This word reign in verse 17 of Romans 5 is the word e-basilefson. That's a long word. It means to rule, to govern, to exercise kingly authority.
reign in life as a king by one Jesus Christ. Again, this is the language going back to Genesis 1. It's going back to that same image and likeness and dominion and authority that God originally gave. God never changes his mind. You know that, right? God never changes his mind. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. What God originally said, what God originally designed, it will be that way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So again, if authority has now been restored, then we as believers must stop surrendering what Christ restored for us. Again, restoration for you and I, it's not automatic. It has to be enforced every day and in every way. You're born again. You've made Jesus the Lord of your life. Wonderful. Now enforce the victory that Christ won in full. Again, if you just know a little part about this and a little part about that, and you stay ignorant of all this other stuff, then that is the surrender. That is the deception. That is the surrender that leads to the open door for the enemy to just come in. That what you're really doing is, I'm still handing this authority over to you, Satan, to come and steal and kill in this area of my life. You've got to enforce it. You have to enforce it. You have to be the one to reign in life. Glory to God. Believers, we must stop surrendering what Christ has restored. The enemy will win wherever we yield. Again, Satan cannot just come in and overpower us with whatever he wants to do. He can only deceive you and I. He can only deceive you and I into actual surrender. Only then can he actually do anything that he wants to do. Agreement with the God of this age is surrender. So what does this look like? Agreement with anything contrary to the truth in Christ. Let's just hold our place here. Philemon chapter 1. Go to Hebrews. Take a left. There's just the one chapter there. Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. This is Paul writing a letter to Philemon. He says, I pray that the sharing of your faith may be most effective by the acknowledgement of every, not just some. This is not a buffet. You just kind of pick and choose and hope it all works out on the rest of it. No, he says, no, it'll become most effective. Whose faith? Your faith. It'll become effective. Your prayer life will be effective. All of this stuff in your life, it will be effective. It will work. It will activate. How? By the acknowledgement or coming into agreement with every good thing which is in you. It's already in you from Christ Jesus. In Christ, you already possess all things. He says the every good thing's already in you in Christ. It'll be activated. It's going to work. How? When you acknowledge it. When you agree with it. Lord, I see in 1 Peter 2:24, you said, by your stripes I was healed. I acknowledge that good thing that is in me in Christ. Jesus, you said in John 8, I'll know the truth, and the truth will make me free. Hallelujah. Am I acknowledging these good things, or am I just passively letting these things stay over here on the side? Or am I just confused about it and say, well, you know what? I know the scripture says that by your stripes, Jesus, there at Calvary, I was healed, but I just don't know. Is it God's will for me to be healed? I just don't know. What is that? That is deception. I'm literally bowing the knee to the God of this age, just like Adam did. That's exactly what I'm doing. And through that deception, I have now opened the door. I've transferred that authority, and devil, you can come strap it on me. Sickness, disease, it's open season here. That's exactly what happens. Ignorance is not bliss. Hosea 4:6, my people are perishing because of a lack of knowledge. Again, but if you will acknowledge every good thing that's in you in Christ, that is the truth that sets you free. Oh, it's so simple. It is really that simple. It's not complicated. Anybody can do it. Whoever can do this. Glory to God. Agreement with the devil is surrender, and it is a transfer of your authority over into his hands. And what you're really saying, you're now the God of my life in this area. Do as you please. Now, the scripture, again, I'm just harping on this. 2 Corinthians, well, you know what, let's turn over there. I'll just take this lap. We're going to close in just a second. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Thank you, Holy Ghost. We must see this. This is it's foundational, it's vital to the life of the believer. Again, the title to this message, this series, is The Authority of the Believer. You have an authority, but you have to take that authority and enforce it and reign in life. Otherwise, the devil's going to take that authority and reign in your life, reign over your life. The word says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, but he who is joined, say, I've been joined, to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. You and the Lord Jesus Christ, you all share and you partake of the exact same spirit, the exact same resurrection life. Again, Galatians 3:27 says, you have been baptized into Christ. You share the life of Christ. Verse 19, what? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you? Say, he's in me. Whom you have, past tense, received from God, and that you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Jesus paid an awesome, terrible price at Calvary for you, for your body, for your spirit. He says, you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to, guess who? God. Say, I am God's property. God bought you. God bought you. He said, now, again, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. How do you bring glory to God in your spirit and in your body? How do you do it? Come on, class. Loving him, believing him. You know what, brother? That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yes. Philemon 1:6, acknowledge every good and perfect thing that's already in you in Christ Jesus. When I choose in the face of opposition, in the face of thoughts and feelings and all this and all that, if I choose to say, you know what, Jesus, I choose to agree with the truth. I choose to agree with my new identity in Christ. And I choose to acknowledge and I declare in the face of all this, I'm not going to consider my body. Like Abraham, I'm not considering that I'm 99 and Sarah's 92 and she's been barren anyway. I'm not considering all of that. You said I'm the father of many nations. You said I'm blessed. I choose to agree with you. And guess what? 9 months later, here comes Isaac, son of blessing. Hallelujah. It's the same for you and I today. I choose to agree with God. I'm not asking flesh and blood. I'm not considering the God of this age. I'm not, you know, thoughts of fear, thoughts of this. Nope. That's not who I am in Christ. I am this, and because I know who I am, now I'm here to exercise my legal right and authority. I'm not handing it over. Reigning is not surviving. To reign as a king, it means we are to govern, to enforce, to resist, and to take our stand. I know what the truth is, and I'm standing on it and haven't done all to stand. I'm going to stand. What else you going to do? I'm going to stand. Glory to God. So again, the enemy will only win where the believer will yield. So again, Satan cannot overpower you. His only tactic is to deceive you so that you will literally bow the knee in the spirit and hand that authority over him. And when you do so, it's open season in your life for the devil. You know, we've shared this here a number of times in the last few weeks, and I'm going to share it again. I'm going to testify about Jesus. I found out about I didn't know this like I know it now, but I knew a lot of this stuff. I discovered it in 2010. I just started walking in the light of it. And I've shared this story with you guys right after I discovered this. It was a Friday night. I'm there in my room getting ready for bed. And all of a sudden I had the most awesome toothache. It was horrible. I mean, it just, make you want to double over and cry. I mean, it hurts so bad. But I had just heard about this. And I said, you know what? I don't have to receive this. There's no dentist to go to right now anyway, and all this and that. I said, you know what? I'm going to take the word. And so I'm healed. And so I spoke to this, tooth. And I said, I do whatever. I said, in the name of Jesus, pain, you go, you be healed, you be restored. My prayer only lasted about 30 seconds. I mean, there wasn't too much to really say about it. Just say what God says, that's it. But for the next hour, I'm just walking around my room and I'm just praising God for all I'm worth. Oh, Father, I want to thank you. Oh, I want to magnify your name, Jesus, the name above all names. I want to thank you, Lord, that I was healed and I am healed. And I'm just praising like this for an hour. Nothing changed. It still hurts just as bad. And then all of a sudden, pain's gone. And I'm just praising God a little bit more. Oh, I want to thank you for my healing. Oh, I want to thank you. From pain on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm at a 10, and then it's back to a 0, there's nothing in my teeth, whatever it was, I'm not sure, but it was something hurt. So about 3 o'clock in the morning, I wake up and that pain is back. And oh, it is hurting again. I'm on a scale of 10, 11. And so I get up. I don't need to pray again. I've already spoke to this thing. I just get up, and for the next hour, I'm just what else am I going to do? Praise God. Oh, I want to thank you that it's so good to be healed. Ha, ha, ha. I want to thank you for my victory. What am I not doing? Agreeing with the symptom. Oh, that pain. Oh, that's a 10 for sure. Oh, my. Oh, that hurts so bad. Oh, never in a million years. Because what is that? I'm bowing the knee just like Adam did in the garden. I am literally handing that authority over to him, and I am literally succumbing to that pain, to that sickness, to that disease, and saying, yep, I agree with the devil. I'm not healed. I agree with you, devil, that yeah, we just never know what God's will is, so I'm just going to... I know. I just happen to believe God's word. If God, you said this was your body, then it's not right that sickness and disease should live in your body. Right. To me, it's absolutely absurd to my thinking that Jesus would ever have received in any way, shape, or form or tolerated sickness and disease in his body. And he's touching leprosy and all type of stuff. He never got sick. They got healed. I see that. I understand that. And so when he says, I've been baptized into Christ, when he says, this is who I am, this is what I have, I just say, I believe it. Right. And I've been living in it all these years. Before this, out in the natural, I would get sick on a regular basis, just like most of the people in the world. Cold and flu season would come along. I would agree with it. Yeah, it's cold and flu season. Oh, you got it. I think I'm coming down with it too. Well, I guess I'm going to probably just go ahead and plan on taking the next day or two off so I can get better. Are you kidding me? For me to do that today? Oh, no. I know. I know who I am. I know what I have, and I understand this. And so I'm here sharing it with you tonight, and I'm telling you, I've been living in this now for 16 years. I've been healed, I've been healthy, I've been whole, and I'm loving life. Glory to God. This isn't just for the few. This is for those who will believe.
Right.
Anyone, everyone who will simply dare take God at his word and say, God, I know it don't look like it in the natural, but I'm not considering the God of this age. I'm considering you. I'm considering the truth and that alone. And it's the truth that has set me free all these years. Ha, ha, ha. Again, reigning happens through resistance. James writes this in James 4:7, submit to God. Submit to the truth. Submit to who you are in Christ. Submit to what you have. If this is God's body, if this is his spirit, I'm going to agree with you. And the idea that sickness and disease is going to exist in or on the temple of God is foolishness. And it really is. No, 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 no. I'm going to submit to God. I'm going to submit to the truth. And he says, you resist the devil. You resist him. How did Jesus resist the devil in the wilderness? Satan, it is written. He submitted to the word. And then he said, devil, get out of here. The devil left. He didn't have an option. You do the same thing. He says, you resist him in the name of Jesus, Satan, pain, sickness, disease, even that thought. Get behind me. Who do you think you are? That is not the truth. My daddy told me what the truth is, and in Christ I am victorious, and I'm going to reign over you all the days of my life. Ha, ha, ha. Glory to God. He says, he will flee from you. You resisting according to truth is how you reign in this life. Again, reigning requires revelation. You cannot reign in what you cannot see. Again, ignorance is the open door that will kill you in your life. Steal, kill, destroy. If I'm ignorant of his devices, if I'm ignorant of who I am, that is an open door. Again, you cannot reign in what you cannot see. Again, this goes back to Sunday. This is why Paul says, I'm praying over you constantly, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you'll know the hope of his calling, the greatness of his power. Glory to God. Why? So that you can reign in life. Again, thank you, Jesus. We do not reign because you and I are personally strong or because we have awesome willpower. We reign because we have been seated together in heavenly places in Christ. Colossians chapter 3. Seating, you're co-seating with Christ at the right hand of the Father is what establishes your jurisdiction here and now in the earth. I rule and reign from that seated position far above all this other mess that's going on in this world. All that stuff is far below my feet, and therefore I refuse to give it any place. Huh. Satan, get under my feet. I'm going to put the kibosh on that. We learned about that on Sunday. I'm going to put the kibosh on that. Get under me. I'm going to stomp that out. Glory to God. So now that you know how authority was lost, surrendered, transferred, and restored, the question that we all need to ask ourselves is, what am I still surrendering? And I dare say that, you know, those of you watching, those of us in the room, there is a place, there is an area where we're still surrendering something to the enemy. All right? Ask Holy Spirit this week, tonight. Ask Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, shine the light. Show me, where am I surrendering my authority and opening this door to the devil to come in and steal, kill, and destroy in my life? Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He will lead you and guide you unto all truth. And when you know that truth will set you free. Say hallelujah to Jesus. So as we close, stop surrendering what Christ has restored. Again, identify where you have yielded ground. Close the gate. Close the gate. Stop praying for what you should be resisting. Sometimes there are prayer issues. Most of the time, it's a dominion issue. Most of the time, what you're dealing with in your life is a dominion issue, and it will only work when you will submit to God with the truth, resist the devil, and watch him flee from you. Again, Mark 11:23, Jesus said, whosoever will say to the mountain, mountain, you be removed, you be cast out into the sea, don't you ever come back. Jesus said, you'll have what you say. Not what you pray. He don't pray to Jesus. Don't pray to God. Don't pray to anybody about the mountain. Certainly don't talk about how big and bad that mountain is. Sickness and disease. Oh, it's so big. COVID's, oh my. COVID ain't nothing. All this stuff out here ain't nothing. It's under my feet is what it is. And I speak to it and I tell it where to go and it goes. Hallelujah. This goes back really Psalm 91. 1,000 may fall at your left, 10,000 at your right hand. It won't come near you. Why? The authority of the believer. It may touch everybody else on the planet, but it's not touching me. And I pray it ain't touching you either. I know it's not right English, but you understand. All right. Speak from your seat. Your voice from your seated position enforces your jurisdiction. And again, resist anything that is beneath it. So again, if you do not find these things at the right hand of the Father in the highest court of the universe, so whatever may be going on, is it in heaven? Is sickness and disease in heaven? Is COVID in heaven? Is depression in heaven? Is whatever, is this in heaven? If it's not, then it's not truth. And I'm here to enforce heaven's will on the earth from my seated position, declaring this is who I am. This is what I have. And as a king, I rule. I decree a thing and it's established. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all stand. And let's all just, I have a few confessions I want us to speak over ourselves and release your faith with it. Mix your faith with it. Glory to God. No more surrender. Let's all say this. I refuse to surrender what Christ restored. I refuse to yield what Jesus recovered. I refuse to give ground to the enemy. I refuse to live beneath my seat. I refuse to misalign myself with the God of this age. I reign in life through one Jesus Christ. I reign by righteousness. I reign by restored dominion. No more surrender. In Jesus' name, I reign. Glory to God. Pastor Paula, would you like to come on up, please? Praise God. Well, I quoted this to us a moment ago, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. He says, if you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. Again, we saw this over in Romans 5. It's the grace of God. He says it's a gift, the gift of righteousness. And all you got to do is receive a gift, to just reach out and receive it and say, thank you. Thank you. I'll take that. Praise God. So let's all pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I believe. That Jesus is your son.
That Jesus is your son.
That you sent him.
That you sent him.
To the cross.
To the cross.
To pay the price.
To pay the price.
For my sin.
For my sin.
Jesus.
Jesus.
I confess you now. As the Christ.
As the Christ.
As my Lord.
As my Lord.
As my Savior.
As my Savior.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Come into my heart.
Take my life.
I am going to live. To the praise of your glory.
Amen.
Praise God. We believe according to the scripture that if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are saved. You are in the kingdom of God and you have obtained the gift of righteousness. Praise
you, be Lord.
To God. Did you have anything as we close?
Praise God. That was an awesome message.
Hallelujah.
I would suggest listening to it again and again. Amen. And again.
Amen. And here in a couple months, yeah, we're going to get that book out and I believe it's going to bless many lives. Amen. Praise God. Well, Friday morning prayer, 9 to 10. Sunday morning pre-service prayer, 9:20. And then we have the service starting at 10. In the meantime, know this, God loves you.
We love you.
And in him, we are living in victory.